We're doing a double act, but I'm doing all the talking because Anne's virtually lost her voice. Sorry?
Sign it.
There you go. Yeah. Last winter was the first time that the churches in Bexley got together to run a winter night shelter for men who found themselves homeless. I know a lot of people here already know that, but we do have some new people in the church, and it's good for everybody to know what happened last year. There were three venues: New Community Church in Sidcup, the Salvation Army Hall in Welling, and the BB Hall next to Christ Church in Bexley Heath. Volunteers from a variety of churches went on a training session and then signed up to be on one or more of the teams during the three-month period. And it was really nice to have a mixture of people from all different church traditions forming teams in the different venues. There were evening, overnight, and breakfast teams for each day of the week to welcome guests, and within that there were catering teams for breakfasts and evening meals. And each team had a team leader and several helpers, both male and female, and all age groups as well. I helped on an evening shift in two of the venues, so my main role was talking with people, making them cups of tea, and just generally coming alongside people. And Anne, I think you were on the morning rota doing breakfasts?
I did three mornings.
Three mornings.
And two evenings.
Well done. So in an evening, guests were welcomed with a hot drink, and we all shared a meal together, the volunteers and the guests. And they had the opportunity to wash or shower, chat, watch television, sometimes play pool. And in the morning, they had breakfast and could take a snack away for lunch. And the sleeping arrangements was one big hall with a sort of inflatable mat, very thin, I have to say, and a sleeping bag, and they kept the same sleeping bag for the period. A very important part of the work of the Winter Night Shelter was the supportive work behind the scenes. Cornerstone, and we had Ian from Cornerstone came and spoke here a few weeks ago. They interviewed all the prospective guests to clarify any particular needs, and at least two people were helped to access health services. And there was also a lot of liaison with the Job Centre and Citizens Advice Bureau. So, the churches in Bexley are running the Winter Night Shelter again this coming winter, and the needs are three things mainly. First of all, more volunteers. We need about 140 people, but only 40 or 50 have signed up so far. Obviously, they're contacting the previous volunteers, but we also are looking for other people to join this year. So it's essential to do the training, even if you volunteered last year. You'll be able to find out more and then decide whether you want to do it if you've never done it before. You can also say when you're available, like, I can only do a Monday night, or I would prefer a breakfast duty. Or maybe you can't commit to a regular duty, but you've got a particular skill like hairdressing or medical or some other practical skill you can offer on an ad hoc basis. There is a letter with the training dates, and Anne has a supply. So it's got a picture of a house on the top. It gives the three training dates, the 4th, the 15th, and the 25th of November, at different times of day. So hopefully it will suit people, whether you're working or not. And if you want to know more, there's also the contact details for Melvin French, who's the coordinator. His Winter Night Shelter email address and his home telephone number. Or, of course, you can ask Anne or myself if you want to know more. So that's to do with volunteering. The second need is that we need three more venues. The nights that are not currently covered.
We have three venues.
Well,
that was the email I sent yesterday.
Right. There. Right. From speaking with Melvin last night, he was still waiting for definite confirmation from the three venues. Just one night short at the moment. Which, do you know which night that is?
I'm not allowed to say.
Not allowed to say. Right, well, Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays, as of my conversation last night, were not covered, but there were churches thinking about it. So it sounds good that it's coming clear, but just pray, please, that that's finalised, because it's really important that we have a venue for each night of the week. And then the third thing is money. Not donations of food and clothing, but actually money is needed. It costs £50 a day for the food for the 12 guests and volunteers, plus £10 a day for electricity and things like that. So if you feel able to sponsor one night a week, or one of the nights, or just any size of donation, that would be great. But do take one of those letters from Anne. If anybody would like to stick their hand up now and could take them round, but if not, please see Anne at the end of the service. Thank you. And now Paul is going to come and pray. Thank you.
We're going to be praying for the night shelter and that project over in a moment or so. Something which is very close, and it should be very close to us. Something I'd like to have got involved in last year, but wasn't able to because of health issues. Then we're praying for that. So let us focus our prayer this morning, first of all, on things around the world, then again, our local community. And that would include things like the night shelter and the churches here in Sidcup as we prepare towards the Christmas season, the busy season of the year. And then we come back to pray for our church family. There are so many things going on. I'll be as quick as I can, Alex. He's looking at his watch, it's time for the sermon. So we will pray. And then to finally just think of ourselves as we just allow ourselves open to what God wants us to be doing. Let's pray. And Father God, we thank you that we can come into your presence this morning. We thank you that we have the freedom and the choice to be able to pray openly and to be able to worship openly in the world we live in. But Father God, we know that there are many parts around the world that do not have that freedom and that choice. And we do pray for those conflict areas across the world where you have to challenge the way that people believe, people's faith, people's behaviour and the way people live, and the wars which set our nations against nations. So, Father, we know there is still so much going on in the Far East and the Middle East. We know there are issues across the African states. We know that you can reach into these situations by your power and by your presence. Father, we ask that you will change and continue to try to change the hearts of men and women. It is only by changing our hearts that we can change the world and that we can change the lives of those around us. Father, we think particularly this morning of the problems throughout the Africa, throughout the United States, with the fires in the far side in California area, and also what's been going on in the Caribbean area over the last month or so. Father, we pray for all the work which has been done to try to put things together there. We pray for those in the fires which seem to be have lost homes and lost lives. You will reach out to those who are providing the services in that country and in those areas at the moment. And that is so important. And Father, we just come closer to home now also. And we pray for our own government as they return to work tomorrow at Westminster. And Father, we know that the months which lie ahead with all the issues regarding the European question are going to be tough for them and also for our communities and for our nation, with arguments on both sides. So Father, we do pray into that situation for those who have that ability and that desire to be able to work through those problems and those issues, that you will give wisdom and insight and understanding to make the right choices and the right decisions at the right time. And on the back of that, we also pray for James Brokenshire, our local MP, that you will stand alongside him in the responsibilities in Northern Ireland, which are still ongoing at the current moment. So, Father, we just bring these things about the world before you in our nation, believing that you can reach into them. Amen. Father, we come back now to our local churches here in Sitka. Father, we thank you that you have given us so many vibrant churches. We thank you for what you're doing across the areas of churches here in Sitka, and the work, how we work together through churches together in Sitka. Father, as we put plans together for the next couple of months leading up to Christmas, and as the churches, as they put together their own individual plans, that we will see ourselves as reaching out into this community, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ into this world at this time of Christmas. And Father, we remember the local services in this area, particularly health services, particularly mental health services, services which are struggling, very much underfunded. Lord, we ask that you will reach out into those who desire and need to use them and bring about your hope for those who desire and want to use them. And Father, we've just heard about the homeless shelter project. Father, we thank you for the vision of the churches in this area and in Bexley to be able to provide this for those who have nowhere to live and those who are living maybe on the street for some of their lives or part of their lives. So we pray for the areas which are needed, more volunteers, as you will actually reach out into that area. Pray for the venues which are also required to be able to run this project, which has been successful last year. And again, for money also to be able to give towards this work. Father, we have a responsibility to this community to be able to try to provide for that. And you have called the churches to do this in so many different ways in this area. We just ask now that you will reach out and bring about your hopes of those who have nowhere to live at that time of the year, but also other times of the year also. But you'll provide for them in so many different ways. Amen. And Father, remember finally our church family. Remember the Jelly family at the moment. Pray for David and Sarah and the family. You'll be with them at this time. Pray for Raj and Marie and the waiting period now for the next 2 weeks to see which way that's going to go. Thank you for standing alongside us on Friday up in London. For Barry and for others who need your touch at the moment, just reach out into their lives. Reach out and touch their lives in whatever way you feel you need to do so. And Father, we do remember our young people at university and those who've just started. Father, we thank you for them as they settle into this new phase of their life. We ask that you will just stand alongside them. We ask that they will find churches that they can actually get involved in if they're able to do so. And they will support them through the coming years of their studies. Father God, we then pray for ourselves. Father, you will reach out and touch us. Pray this morning as we hear what you have to say for Alex. You will reach out and show us something afresh and something new. In Jesus' name, amen.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength.
The Lord's Prayer is a very important prayer to many of us. And as we go through stages of life, sometimes we can turn to the Lord's Prayer when we don't know what else to pray. And so maybe, I'm not so sure about primary schools today, but I think for most of us, when we went to school, we would recite the Lord's Prayer, maybe in our assemblies or at the end of a school day. When there's a marriage, when there's a funeral, when sometimes there's a civic occasion, The Lord's Prayer is a really great prayer to get people praying together. It's one that we can all recite, and there are different versions of it as well. And the Lord's Prayer can be so ingrained in us that we can really struggle to pray the Lord's Prayer in a different version. And I know that when I hear different versions around me, I find it even distracting. But that's the importance of the Lord's Prayer for us. But back in the Old Testament, there was a different prayer which held a similar role. What we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks is a prayer which is just a couple of verses long. And it's actually part of a much longer reading that we are going to listen to in a moment. And so there are three readings. This one from Deuteronomy chapter 6, another one from chapter 11, and one from the book of Numbers. And these verses have been put together and have been prayed morning and night by Jewish people over thousands of years. They would be prayed out together with children before they would go to bedtime. And when people came to the end of their lives, the version of the last rites was these couple of verses, the Shema. And so I thought just in our first week, it would be good to hear this prayer in its fullness. And so Diane is going to come up for us. Now, Diane, this is normally sung in ancient Hebrew. Is it too late notice to ask for that?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
That's all right. We probably haven't got the right instruments today, so maybe we'll wait till next week.
Let's listen to God's word. So Deuteronomy 6, 4-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Then Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13-21. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your corn, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. And then Numbers 15, 37-41. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by chasing after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. We thank the Lord for his word.
Thank you. So when these verses are pulled together, it creates a prayer of declaration as to who God is. It's also a prayer of commitment to live out that life to God in which is described. And also it is a prayer of praise and adoration. This is an amazing prayer that we have, because it's a prayer that has been prayed for thousands of years. It is a prayer that Moses would have prayed day and night. It is a prayer that King David would have prayed day and night. It is a prayer that Jesus would have prayed day and night. And some of those words that Diane was reading to us, you might find familiar. And that's because Jesus used them himself. And so we read in Mark's Gospel, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' The most important one is this: 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength.'" Jesus prayed this prayer daily. He used it not just out of some kind of religious ritual, but he used it to connect with his heavenly Father. He used it to pray and to praise him. And so it's good for us. If it's good for Jesus, then it is good for us to study as well. So we're going to be starting today a 6-part series looking at, it's kind of like a word study almost, looking at these 6 key words in these 2 verses in this Shema. So today we're going to be looking at "here," and then over the next few weeks we're going to be looking at "Lord," "love," "heart," "soul," and "strength." And there's going to be a variety of people who are going to be coming up here and preaching through some of those words. But today, we're just kind of in a short time together today, we're going to be looking at this first word, which is "here," or in some translations will be "listen." The word that is actually used in the ancient Hebrew here is the actual word Shema itself. So Shema means "listen and hear." And so Shema is also the title of this prayer. And it has 3 main meanings, whether you use the word "hear" or whether you use the word "listen." I really hate 3-point sermons because it's just so obviously kind of Baptist. But it does seem to work into kind of 3 points today. So I'm going to talk about their meanings rather than points, so just forget about the whole points, but if you can. Okay, so the first meaning of "hear" or "listen," the first meaning of Shema, is the actual physical process of receiving sound waves into your ears. And so we have an example of this in the book of Proverbs. "Ears that hear," and the word there is Shema, "and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both." God speaks to us, and so we listen. God speaks to us in different ways, and so we listen in different ways. Of course, the most obvious way that we think about how God speaks to us, the most obvious way that we think about how we listen to God, is through his word. It is good for us to meet as Christians and to hear the voice of God through one another. We all know that there are times when we need to get into the countryside or go to the beach and we need to enjoy creation, and we can feel God speaking to us through that. And then sometimes we can have a vision or a picture from God. Sometimes we might be asking for a specific kind of communication from God. And we hope that we will hear his response. It wasn't that long ago that Hannah and I were trying to figure out what God wanted for us in our next chapter of our lives, where we should be moving to, what kind of churches that we should be speaking to. And we wanted a very clear voice. We didn't want to just be thinking, oh, well, we'll just do whatever practical or whatever we feel like. But we wanted something very direct from God. And so for me, I wanted to have some writing on the wall, which may be familiar to some of you. And so I was praying, and Hannah was praying. I think I was praying a little bit more for it, that we would have, that God would write something on the wall, that his will for us and his voice to us would be so incredibly obvious that we would never have to doubt whether it was it God or was it us, but that we would fully know that it was him. That writing on the wall never came. Otherwise, to be honest, you would have heard about it by now. So I spoke about this with someone that I really trust, and I said, look, this is what I'm looking for. This is how I want God to speak to me. This is how I want to listen to God, and it's not really happening. And he suggested to me that maybe I was asking for communication from God in the wrong way. He suggested to me that it's good to know and good to see throughout your past how God has communicated to you in the past. That when you look back throughout your life, you might see patterns of how God has spoken to me and also to Hannah. And if we can see some kind of pattern, some kind of usual way of how God speaks to us in the past, then maybe that'd be a more helpful and appropriate way to be listening to him in the present. We have so many different ways of communicating with each other today. And depending on the person, we will communicate in different ways. Now, the way that our phones are means that we probably do most of our communication with people who are far away through our phone in some format. But I know that, say, if I'm going to be in contact with my brother, it's going to be through Facebook Messenger. If it's going to be with my mum or with my dad, it's going to be through WhatsApp. There are people from my previous church who I still speak to, and I know that I will just give them a call, because if I give them a text, they'll never respond. I don't communicate in just one way, because that's useful and appropriate for me. It's a right hassle for me to try and keep up to date with my emails and with my WhatsApp and with Facebook and with my texts, trying to make sure that I respond to them. It is a hassle for me, but I do it, and you communicate in different ways for the sake of other people. God is like that. He is kind to us in the fact that he can communicate in any way that he wishes to with us. But when we look through our lives, there may be certain patterns in which he speaks to us. It's not just some random way that he communicates, but rather he knows us. He knows what we can deal with. He knows the type of listener that we are. He knows the way that we connect with him. And so he speaks to us. He communicates with us in different ways through his word, through other Christians, through creation, through visions, through dreams. Some more than others, depending on who we are. It's good then for us to know just how God literally speaks to us. But sometimes I feel like we can get lazy, where we want to get direction from God and we want it our way and we don't want to do it in a different way. There's this really good quote that I find really helpful. It says, "Don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed." Don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed. When I was looking for writing on the wall, I hadn't just spent an hour looking at the Bible to see what God might be saying to me through that. I couldn't be bothered to open my Bible at that point. I just wanted to hear something very direct. I just wanted to hear the message rather than hear from the messenger. And so it's good for us to be keeping our Bibles open. We should be open to however God wants to connect with us. We should be looking at patterns in ways he normally communicates with us. But even if we're a reader or if we're not, let's keep our Bibles open to see what God wishes to say through us. When this prayer from Deuteronomy was given, it was given from God to Moses to share with the Hebrew people. The direct and most common form of communication between God and his people at that time was through Moses. Today we have the Bible, which is our main source of inspiration. We can never say that God is silent. We can never say, because God hasn't written on the wall, he's not talking to me. No, we all have a Bible which his Spirit speaks through to each of us. We're on to our second meaning. And so the first meaning is the physical process of receiving sound waves in our ears or something that we read. The second meaning of Shema, the second meaning of listen or to hear, is that we pay attention. I'm tempted not to go through to speak about this verse just because it's quite a sad verse. But Jacob was married to two sisters, and he married the first sister, Leah. He was kind of deceived into it, and he never really loved her. And then later on, he married Rachel, who really was the love of his life. And so throughout Leah's life, she felt unloved by Jacob. But we have this verse. Leah conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard, Shema, that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. Leah was so upset, felt so unloved by Jacob, but she knew that God loved her. God listened to Leah's upset and to her prayers. And so God blessed Leah with children, to the point where she has her second son. She calls him Simeon, or in the original, it's Shimon, which is kind of a derivative of listening or hearing, of Shema. And so to Shema is not just to have the actual physical act of listening or to be reading, but it is to engage your mind as God engaged with Leah to what's being said, which we all struggle with. We can all struggle to read long Bible passages. So many times I've tried to read the Bible in a year, and I found myself just drifting and my eyes glazing over as I'm looking through the passage. And I can feel quite self-righteous at the end of reading that passage, because I thought, okay, I can tick that one off. And sometimes I've actually had a list that I can actually tick off. But I haven't really engaged with the scripture. I haven't really been looking at it. My eyes have been glazed over. And so I don't bother with long passages of scripture anymore, because it doesn't work for me. I just look at smaller scriptures, and I find it more easier to pay attention to it. Sometimes we can struggle with familiar Bible passages. If I was to start talking about John 3:16, it's just like, okay, I know John 3:16. And we can struggle to engage with the words with it, even though it's a really powerful verse. Sometimes a helpful thing to do is to actually look at different translations of the Bible. A friend of mine was finding that he was becoming overly familiar with the scriptures, that he could be reading them and that he would just, again, his eyes would be glazing over. And so his mentor took his Bible and threw it away. And he gave him a different translation of the Bible and said, for this year, you're not going to have your NIV or whatever it is. Have this different translation. It's new words, it's fresh words. It will help you to engage. If we're the sort that have had the same Bible translation for nearly all of our lives, and we're struggling to engage with it, maybe it's time to look into a different translation, just to freshen
your mind and to freshen your eyes. It's good for us to be paying attention in particular to the scriptures, as I'm saying. Do we have any whiskey drinkers here? I know we have some. I am more than aware of the wine drinkers, but are there any whiskey drinkers? Okay. Maz, Yvonne, anyone else? Okay. Do you ever get together or? Not yet. Well, that's lunch sorted, isn't it? I am not a whiskey drinker. But Hannah and I, a couple of years ago, were taught how to drink whiskey, which was a very unpleasant experience, if I'm completely honest. But we did feel under pressure to do it. So there were all these bottles out. We didn't drink much, but there was all these different types of whiskey. And you know, if you don't really like something, it doesn't matter whether it's slightly different. You're still not really going to enjoy it. But we were told how to drink whiskey. The temptation is just to get it over and done with and just to swallow it. No, right?
Savor it.
Savor it. Preach it. And you get that burning sensation in the back of your throat if you just down it. And that's what happened kind of the first time we tried it. It's just like, oh, that's absolutely disgusting. And it even hurts. Like, why would people want to drink this? But then we were told that you shouldn't just swallow it. You shouldn't just chug it down and get it over, especially because it's really quite expensive stuff, isn't it? But rather, you should chew it. Have you heard that term for whiskey?
No?
No? The guy who was teaching us about whiskey had read up about this and said that you should chew whiskey. Now, it's a weird idea to be chewing a drink, but it's the idea that you should be moving around your mouth almost like a cow eating grass, and you should be letting it swirl around so that it connects with all your different taste buds, and then it kind of the taste of it mellows. And so by the time that you swallow it, there's no longer a burning sensation, but actually you've been able to enjoy this very expensive drink. With whiskey, you should never chug, you should chew. We can take the same kind of lesson to how we treat the scriptures. We can be tempted to chug down the scriptures, sometimes to get it over and done with, or so that we can feel self-righteous because we've been reading lots and lots of scripture. But it's actually better just to hold it for a while, to hold a short passage of scripture and to chew on it. There's a very ancient practice called Lectio Divina, and that means divine reading. And for hundreds of years, people have used this way, this kind of almost kind of medieval way of chewing through the scriptures to avoid chugging through the scriptures. And so there's a whole process that you do when you adopt the practice of Lectio Divina with the scriptures. So first of all, you read the scripture, just a short passage of scripture. You read through it several times. You then meditate on certain words and hope that some of them kind of really are pulled out into your attention. Then you pray through what the passage is saying, and then you contemplate, what effect does this passage have on my life? It's something that we did a lot at college on our reflection days, and that would be a good thing for us to be looking through and to actually do at some point together. It's good for us not to chug scripture, but to chew on it. Because when we chew on it, we're paying attention to what God is really saying. So we have Shema, which means the physical process of receiving the sound waves into our ears, or for us to be actually looking at scriptures with our eyes. We have the second meaning, which is that of Shema, which is to pay attention to what is being said or what has been written. And the third and final meaning is responding to what you've heard, acting on what you've seen, and being obedient to it. So we have this good scripture in Psalm 27, which says, "Hear, Shema, my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." It's not just about a conversation with God that we have. That is not the extent to which we have Shema, But we only have Shema when we hear what God has said, when we processed and paid attention to what God has said, and then finally when we act out and when we are obedient to what God has said to us. Often when we're looking through the Old Testament and we're seeing our translated version, when there is the word hear, the original word is Shema. Also, when we see the word obey, the word is still Shema. It has a double meaning. It's two sides of a coin, of listening and being obedient. We have this well-known verse in James that you will have seen if you're in one of the home groups here. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, I'm being cheeky in using this verse because this verse was written in Greek and not in Hebrew. But James, the brother of Jesus, would have been brought up in the Hebrew scriptures. And so James knew what it meant to not only hear, but also to obey. And how you can't really say that you can hear unless you have obeyed and carried out the instruction. To listen to Shema involves action. So some of us will say, I like reading the Bible at night because that just works for me. Other people will say, I like reading the Bible in my lunch break. I think it is good when we read the Bible first thing in the morning, because then we allow it to filter into us, for us to reflect on it, but also to live it out during that day. It's good for us to attend church on the first day of the week, so that throughout the next 6 days, we can reflect more on what we've been listening to, that we can reflect more on what we've seen, and seek to apply it to our lives. We might think if we do Shema in our lives, if we do listen in these three different complementary ways, how might our lives look differently? We have these couple of verses that were read out, which forms kind of part of that Shema prayer. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There are Jewish people today who follow that really quite literally. It's called Tefillin, where they all have these little leather boxes that contain different scriptures, including the Shema, and they will wrap them and have them on their foreheads for their prayers. And they'll also, if you can see in the image, they will tie them around their arms as well. It's a very physical demonstration of the Shema, of listening to God and being obedient and following him. We might have our own version today. Some of us might be wearing crosses or necklaces. Some of us might be wearing like WWJD bracelets or frog ones, or there's all sorts of different ones. And that's all well and good. And any visual reminders that are helpful, we should definitely use. But how really in our lives can following Shema, listening to God, being obedient to him, how will that practically look in our lives? If we truly listen to God, take in his word, take in his direction, reflect on it, and then obey it, how might that transform the lives of us, both individually and also as a church? So we've explored how we hear and the process and the act of hearing. But I just want to finish with the thought of, isn't it just amazing that God speaks at all? What we hear is important, but even more vital is surely who we are hearing from. I suspect that many of us have seen videos that have gone viral on YouTube of children that have never been able to hear, and because of an operation or a piece of technology that they've had, you see videos of them hearing the voice of their parents for the very first time. And the absolute awe and wonder that they are in of hearing their parents' voice. Just a couple of days ago, it was going around on Facebook, is about a man who had lost his wife some years ago, many years ago, in fact, and he had a recording of her just on the answer phone, and he thought he had lost it. And through technology, they'd managed to restore this original message. And it was just an answer phone message. So there was nothing special about what was being said, but it was the fact that he could hear the voice of his late wife again brought him to tears. Just a couple of days ago, we're having a bit of a family day out at St. James's Park, and I just absolutely love listening to my nephew, Joshua. He's putting words together into sentences, and he has just got the sweetest little voice. And often what he's talking about doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's just so nice to hear his little voice. Let's remember to hear God's voice, not just for some direction, not just so we know what to do with our lives, but so that we'd hear his voice and just love him and praise him and be thankful that we can hear the creator of the universe, the author of our salvation. So often we can be distracted. And I came across this image a couple of years ago. So if you can't really make it out, it's a sheep. My eyes aren't working today, so I can barely read it, actually. But the sheep has got his laptop on his lap. He's got the radio on. He's got the Bible with stuff on top of it. And he's got the TV on as well. And he's saying, I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. And there's a shepherd in the background calling out to him. I am so sick of all of us wasting our lives on our mobile phones, not engaging with one another and not with God. And I'm not saying that as someone being self-righteous. I'm absolutely sick of me wasting my life and wasting opportunities to talk with other people and to spend quality time with God because I'm stuck on my phone or something similar. I'm saying it in front of all of you, you know, in the hope that it will change me. And I'm really hoping that it will change you too. Because it is serious. It is a real, genuine problem. Let's put down our phones. Let's put down our distractions just now and then, just for 5 minutes. Be in the quiet. Be in the solitude. Listen out for what the shepherd might be saying to us. God is talking to us all the time. We can never say that God is not communicating with us. It is down to our side. It's down to us how we listen and how we respond. Let's make our ears and our eyes more available to him over these next 6 days. Let's give him our full attention when we're reading his word. And let's learn to trust and to follow his advice, to live it out, and to see us transformed both as individuals and also as a church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks that you communicate with us. Lord, there is power in your voice, in whichever way you display it. Lord, it is through your voice, it is through your words that creation has come into being. Lord, when the Lord Jesus returns, we will hear the trumpet sound and we will hear the voice of the Lord himself praising us and rewarding us. We thank you for the words that you have shared through Scripture. We thank you that for the words which we share amongst one another. Lord, we're sorry for the times in which we are distracted. We're sorry for the times in which we feel like we just can't pick up your word, where we don't feel like we can engage with it, where we find it boring, where we find it dull, where we can find it non-applicable to our lives. We pray that you would do a great work through our thinking, through our perception, that you'd do a great work through our ears, and that you would refresh us with your words. Please help us to get into better patterns for receiving the sound waves into our ears, for receiving the pictures and the words into our eyes. Please would you bless us and help us in our understanding and on our reflecting of what you are saying to us. And Lord, please would your Spirit go with us as we seek out to live your word. Please would you help us to be transformed people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next week, we will be looking at the next word in our study, which is going to be Lord.